Hey everybody, guess what? It's a Ken Braverman podcast. It's Friday. Good Friday to you. We're coming from you. No, we're not. We're coming to you from the state of California. We've just crossed into the state of California. We are we just passed the state line, like solar farm. It's I don't think they call it a solar farm, but they generate a lot of electricity, and there's thousands of mirrors reflecting light into these areas right on the state line on Interstate 15. When you're heading out of Las Vegas and heading toward California, toward LA, you'll see it. It's a beautiful sight. Love to see it. It's weird. You're up in the desert. It's cold. It's in the 30s. Chilly. Burr in here. So we're on the road, and we've just left Las Vegas, and it was time to podcast because, I don't know, I felt like having a discussion. Conspiracy theories abound. A lot of thought about what it means to be human and how we think and interact with the stories we hear and the reality we perceive. I had two separate people that I've known for a long time, both independently, spit at me conspiracy theories about the Las Vegas shooting, at the concert where from the Mandalay Bay windows, the guy in his like his 50s or early 60s, he had all these assault weapons and killed like 50 some people. They believe that it's not just him. Like this is the residents of Las Vegas. I can't believe it. These are smart people that I really respect their intelligence. And they're both saying, you know, I don't totally believe what's going on. There's all these signs like two windows were shot out. I know all these people in town that watched it from different windows and they heard different things. And anyway, it just made me think that we all have this tendency, we all, human beings, as we take in information and we assimilate it, we try to figure out what's real and what's not. There's this inherent skepticism that causes us to gravitate toward conspiracy or the less than consistent story and narrative that is expressed through whatever you want to call the media. And this just happens. Our friends and our personal experiences that we have with those close to us tend to outweigh the public consensus on a story, right? One guy, ton of weapons, he did it all from the window. I mean, it's really something. I don't want to believe. I want to believe the story that I'm hearing on the news. I don't want to think that we're being lied to, right? That there's a cover-up on that level. But I think we all kind of have to take a second look at everything now, given the Russian meddling and the distrust that we must have for social media and the media as a whole. The social media and the media landscape are one in the same now. Where we get information is everywhere, and it's up to us to figure out what's true. So anyway, I'm revisiting what the storyline is with the Las Vegas shooter. And then now here's one that I know a little bit more about. The Parkland shooting, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting. I was 12 miles away from that when it happened, before it was even being announced, and I saw the cops flying there, and that is obviously not a cover-up. It is not a fake story. I went down there and saw the police line and the family members of, and the news crews and everyone else. That is not a joke. So, should we normally believe what we hear? The answer is with evidence. Evidence, just things that we commonly and can agree on is the truth. When tested, when replicated, it can be done. Like, that's what evidence is. Like, did this transaction happen? Did everyone see it? When light was shined upon it, did it reflect? That's what evidence is. That's all it is. What we perceive as truth that we can validate and agree upon. And unfortunately, we're oftentimes fighting with each other to agree on that truth because sometimes it's convoluted. Sometimes the reflections from that mirror are not flat and easy to read. Sometimes they're curved. Sometimes you think you're looking at a mirror and really it's bouncing in another direction. Things don't always be as they appear, right? So, there's a tremendous amount going on. Being outside of the district and outside of my normal habitat traveling this week, not fully engulfed in politics all the time, seeing how the rest of the country lives when you don't have Trump in your face 24 hours a day. I mean, that's how you can be passively, cognitively dissonant to it, is when it's not in your face every day, when you're in Vegas and you've got other things going on, when your local Applebee's is having a special. It's a different viewpoint on life, and I can respect it, and we've all got to bounce around. That's why we should kind of leave the politics to those that are informed. But it's nice to take the temperature about what the public views, how people think about what's going on. So let's talk about what has happened. Students, people that have been affected in Florida by the shooting, are not sitting in their bedrooms crying, being inconsolable and reclusive from the public, as one might have assumed that sometimes people and family members would do that. They ask for their time to mourn in their privacy, often, is what used to be heard when these mass shootings happen. Go back to Sandy Hook, parents of those kids. I mean, if you have your elementary school child gunned down, I don't know if I would want to be out in the public screaming at my politicians. We used to say there's time to mourn, and we want to be respectful of those affected. You know, more of a kind of like a religious backing on how you deal with death, which is you take time, you deal with family, and you do it in private. I think that, you know, I was thinking about a statement. What happens when people ask me, can you believe in God? You know, you question a lot of times faith at times like this. When you lose a child, as these parents that are coming out and speaking at the White House, at their state capitals, in protest in the U.S. Capitol, as they come out, and you ask, oh, yeah, well, you know, will you see your child again in another life, afterlife? Will you ever be reunited? Talk about God and really spirituality in a lot of ways. And in an effort not to alienate those that do believe, because I don't believe in God. However, I do believe that God put me on this earth to help people. I do believe that. So you want to talk about a little inconsistency. It's not really agnosticism, but it's, you know, we don't know why we're here, but we know what feels good and we know what's right. We know that what Larry Nassar did to the entire gymnastics corps of the U.S. is wrong in a moral sense. Whether or not you believe in God, you know that that's wrong. And so we know that AR-15s in the hands of kids going into schools is a wrong thing to do. It's wrong to have that happen. Everybody's moral compass is pointed toward W, meaning wrong, when it comes to that. Everyone. And the response would be from those that are not invested in the opposing viewpoint, which really isn't a viewpoint, or the opposing stance, or the makers of the AR-15, the lobby that for some reason never wants to allow a chink in the armor of regulations of fire weapons whenever they can avoid it and try to stop it, who won't look at the history of gun violence, because they know that if we really took a look at how many lives are affected by gun violence and what we need to do, what kind of solution we need to have here, that whole industry could be threatened. I've always said this. I've talked about gun violence in the past, years past, because of course this is not the first time we've had this type of shooting. And what I said in the past rings true today, and I'll repeat it, which is we must attack those that won't fall in line with what the majority, and it's a heavy majority, it's a 90%+ majority of people want, which is assault weapons banned from this country. Because we're going to have to ban all types of weapons in the future, and we should start with the AR-15 ban of 2018. That's the name of the legislation. Let's act the way we need to act. Anyone who sells an AR-15 from this point forward should be open to a lawsuit from the victims of the Parkland shooter, to say this: AR-15s are unacceptable. Whether there is no right to possess an AR-15 as guaranteed by the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms does not specify that you are allowed to have an AR-15. That you're allowed to have an assault weapon that makes it easier to kill people than shooting them in a video game. Nobody, our forefathers did not know what an AR-15 was. Our forefathers were too busy milking donkeys or doing what, churning butter in 1791, okay? 1796, 1790, 17 something. It was so long ago that nobody cares. Okay, they didn't know what an AR-15 was. They knew what a musket might be 100 years later, but they didn't know when nobody wanted that. Hey, we have military weapons. Are you allowed to have a nuclear bomb? Are you allowed to have a nuclear bomb in your home? Are you allowed to keep one in the basement? No. No, you're not. Because it's too dangerous. And an AR-15 is too dangerous. And anyone who thinks otherwise is wrong, with a capital W. And everybody knows that. And you can't really argue with victims of the crime when a 16-year-old whose friend was just gunned down in front of him by an AR-15, when everyone in the school knew who did it before they even announced it on the news, when the kid was able to run out of the school before being caught, and everyone still knew who it was, when that kid's allowed to get a gun that dangerous, it's wrong. So let's ban them. And if the Congress won't do it, then let's do it through the law. Let's ban it on the local level. Call your local legislator. Call your county ordinance advisor. Call the guy who runs the pool at your local condominium and tell him to enact a law banning AR-15s. So everywhere they go, we confiscate them. Everywhere. This is how you do this in the 21st century. You start on a micro level until it bleeds on the macro level. You ban them in your house. I'm going to ban them in my house. Just going to put a sign up on my door. AR-15s are not allowed in this home. And if you bring one, I'm confiscating it. Everybody. Everybody does it. You start it on the county, state, local, national level. And we don't stop. And anyone who tells you that they can't do it and there's a right to have it, show them pictures of dead kids and say, really? 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 Do we need Seth Meyers to come over here? Really? I don't want to be showing dead kids of everyone all day long. So let's just pass these laws. And let's not stop. Because here's the thing about those that propagate evil and do it for money. That's not all the thing you're doing it for is money. Why does the gun lobby exist? Because of money. Because guns are expensive. I don't know I don't know how much an AR-15 costs, but I bet you it's under $1,000. But I bet you it's like a few hundred dollars, right? It's a piece of metal. Like, it's a piece of metal molded together that does stuff. And then you got to buy bullets and all kinds of other things. It's a big expense. For people that don't have a lot of money, here's a kid who's living with other people's parents. Where the hell do you get the money to buy an AR-15? Seriously. And the answer is, if you keep suing people that are selling them, suing people that are making them, and make laws that confiscate them everywhere they go, the price of them is only going to go up, and Nicholas Cruz isn't going to have enough money to buy a $2,000 AR-15 if we can't buy, ban them everywhere. That's what you do. You don't stop because they're wrong, and you tell it to their face, and that's how you win this, because you're right. So we don't stop. We don't stop. The 98%. We're the 98%. That was what I saw as a poll number of how many people want assault weapon ban regulation enacted. 98%. Who's the two people? Two people that didn't realize there was a school shooting last week. Those are the two people that said they don't want assault weapons banned because they're too busy. I won't be negative. They're just not aware. They've got their own things going on. They have three jobs and their own shit to deal with. And they didn't get shot at today because they were one of the lucky ones. Those are the two people who don't want assault weapon ban. All right, let's stop talking about it. Let's talk about other things. But that's what we're going to do is we don't stop. Because you can draw the energy in being right. That's all you need. It's easy. I listened to Ari Melber on The Beat with Ari Melber talk to a politician who was continuing to revert back to, well, we do have, in a very nice, polite Southern accent, well, we do have a Second Amendment that is enacted here, and there is a right to bear arms. And while I don't specifically believe that we need to address or, you know, talk about legislation to have a national discussion about assault weapons in the future, we do have a Second Amendment. And this is the funny thing. Yes, we have a Second Amendment. And no, it does not guarantee you the right to have an AR-15. So if you're going to use that as a defense, as Ari Melber accurately pointed out, you need to shut the F up. Okay? You really do. Because you're wrong. And we're just going to start suing you. Like, if you say that the Second Amendment gives you the right to an AR-15, you are lying, and I will challenge you in a court of law. Please prove that. You are wrong. You are misrepresenting the right to have that gun. Let's do a constitutional amendment. Let's get money out of politics and let's get guns out of schools. The answer is not to arm everybody else. You don't solve the problem by having more of it around. Right? That's a bad idea. Hey, does everybody have AIDS? Okay, then let's put AIDS in everyone's water supply. No, that's not the answer. Bad idea. Hey, did you go pick up your bottled AIDS today? No, I didn't. Nope, because that's a bad idea. Bottled AIDS is a bad idea. You heard it here first. So, all right. Other topics of discussion. Russians, believe it or not, in a future pod, I'm going to talk about how we need to work with the Russians. Because even though the Russians want to destroy us, some of them do, they also are a force. And if our president's going to continue to owe $1 billion to Putin, and everyone tells me to shut up when I keep saying that, but fine. If our president's going to just owe a lot of his wealth and his loans to Russians, because that's who gave him money. If that's how things are going to be, then we're going to have to work with them. We're going to have to tell them that destroying our country is not the answer, but bettering the former Soviet Union and everyone in the world is the answer. The answer is not to have militarized drones killing everyone. The answer is to make everyone's life better through robotics, artificial intelligence, renewable energy, cryptocurrency and universal basic income through cryptocurrency and digital income and perceived wealth distributing throughout the world, and bettering humanity. Those are the answers. That's why there is still an inherent strength in the unions and bonds between many democratized countries in the Western world. That's why that bond still exists, even though we have a sham in the White House right now and a cancer in the executive branch. The reason why society hasn't completely gone to shizzle is because of this, because people are generally good. So Russians, hey Russians, we're going to be working. I work with Russians. I play hockey with Russians. They're good folks. They back check. They fight on D. And just like a lot of other, sort of a tribal mentality that we have as humans because of what our brains can handle, they help their own. If you want to be, you know, you want to be protected, be in good with Putin. Be one of his buddies, and you will be protected. Like, that's how these things work. So when I say we're going to need to work with Russians, we're going to need to work with everybody. And all this BS and fake Facebook and cyber espionage and trying to change how people feel to muddy up the waters and to make people hate each other and to create distrust and unrest, that is not the way to make a better planet, Vlad. Hey, Vlad, it's a bad idea. I know that's a way that you personally can exercise your power over others by comparatively having strength. Like, if you want to win a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather, it'd be nice if you chopped off one of his legs first. So he's hopping around like a Monty Python knight. He's going to slow him down, and you might have a chance, right? That's what Vladimir Putin's plan is. Chop off Floyd Mayweather's knees. Mayweather? Merriweather? I don't know. The dude who never loses. That guy. That's what Vlad's plan is. And that is not what the Earth wants. That's not what people want. It's not a defendable plan. It's why he's looked at as a pariah. That's why we have things called Magnitsky Acts. Let's work with everybody, yo. Right? Yo, MTV Raps 1992, let's work with everybody, yo. That's what we need. So, man. All right. What else is going on? What else is hot? What else can we talk about? We're 20 minutes in. It's a long pod. We'll have more to discuss this weekend. I love to travel, love to talk. Maybe I'll get to LA and really have some fun. So we're out for now, but it's been a Ken Braverman pod. Don't stop. You can't stop. Fight for what's right, because the big W is wrong. Ken's talk is out.